Welcome to the First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. Now, the Wednesday service.
During some Ash Wednesday services, some Christians, ministers, will lightly rub the sign of the cross with ashes onto the foreheads of worshipers. Historically, ashes signifies purification and sorrow for sins. And now, we're ready to begin our service on our Christian Science observation. We're going to start by singing a Mary Baker Eddy. It's 568. I'll read the words of her poem. Saw ye my Savior? Heard ye the glad sound? Felt ye the power of the word? 'Twas the truth that made us free and was found by you and me in the life and the love of our Lord. Mourner, it calls you. Come to my bosom. Love wipes your tears all away and will lift the shade of gloom and for you make radiant room midst the glories of one endless day. Sinner, it calls you. Come to this fountain. Cleanse the foul senses within. 'Tis the spirit that makes pure, that exalts thee and will cure all thy sorrow and sickness and sin. Strongest deliverer, friend of the friendless, life of all being divine, thou the Christ and not the creed, thou the truth in thought and deed, thou the water, the bread, and the wine. Hymn number 568. The Bible. Psalms. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. Matthew. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Daniel, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, we have sinned and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants and the prophets which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee. Matthew. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth into an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Joel. Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent, and leave a blessing behind? Acts. Sirs, ye are brethren. Why do ye wrong one another? Matthew. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. ye cannot serve God and mammon. Psalms. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. He is ever merciful and lendeth. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Matthew. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Again, we have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oath. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Romans. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Deuteronomy. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. I shall now read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. The belief that either fasting or feasting makes men better morally or physically is one of the fruits of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, concerning which God said, thou shalt not eat of it. Jesus was no ascetic. He did not fast, as did the Baptist disciples. Yet there never lived a man so far removed from appetites and passions as the Nazarene. He rebuked sinners, and pointedly and unflinchingly, because he was their friend. Hence the cup he drank. The Judaic religion consisted mostly of rites and ceremonies. The motives and affections of man were of little value if only he appeared unto men to fast. The great Nazarene, as meek as he was mighty, rebuked the hypocrisy which offered long petitions for blessings upon material methods, but cloaked the crime latent in thought, which was ready to spring into action and crucify God's anointed. The martyrdom of Jesus was the culminating sin of the Pharisaism. It rent the veil of the temple. It revealed the false foundations and superstructures of superficial religion, tore from bigotry and superstition their coverings, and opened the sepulcher with divine science, immortality, and love. Christian Science commands man to master the propensities, to hold hatred in abeyance with kindness, to conquer lust with chastity, revenge with charity, and to overcome deceit with honesty. Choke these errors in their early stages if you would not cherish an army of conspirators against health, happiness, and success. They will deliver you to the judge, the arbiter of truth against error. The judge will deliver you to justice, and the sentence of the moral law will be executed upon mortal mind and body. Both will be manacled until the last farthing is paid, until you have balanced your account with God. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The good man finally can overcome his fear of sin. This is sin's necessity, to destroy itself. Immortal man demonstrates the government of God good, in which is no power to sin. It were better to be exposed to every plague on earth than to endure the cumulative effects of a guilty conscience. The abiding consciousness of wrongdoing tends to destroy the ability to do right. If sin is not regretted and is not lessening, then it is hastening on to physical and moral doom. You are conquered by the moral penalties you incur and the ills they bring. The pains of sinful sense are less harmful than its pleasures. Belief in material suffering causes mortals to retreat from their error, to flee from body to spirit, and to appeal to divine sources outside of themselves. The Bible contains the recipe for all healing, the leaves of the tree for the healing of the nations. Sin, sickness, are both healed by the same principle. The tree is typical of man's divine principle, which is equal to every emergency, offering full salvation from sin, sickness, and death. Sin will submit to Christian Science when, in place of modes and forms of power of God, is understood and demonstrated in the healing of mortals, both mind and body. Sorrow for wrongdoing is but one step towards reform, and the very easiest step. The next and great step required by wisdom is the test of our sincerity, namely reformation. To this end, we are placed under the stress of circumstances. Temptation bids us repeat the offense, and woe comes in return for what is done. So it will ever be till we learn that there is no discount in the law of justice, and that we must pay the uttermost farthing. The measure ye meet shall be measured to you again, and it will be full and running over. Saints and sinners get their full reward, but not always in this world. Man's wisdom finds no satisfaction in sin, since God has sentenced sin to suffer. The drunkard thinks he enjoys drunkenness, and you cannot make the inebriate leave his besottedness until his physical sense of pleasure yields to a higher sense. Then he turns from his cups as the startled dreamer who awakens from an incubus incurred through the pains of distorted sense. A man who likes to do wrong, finding pleasure in it and refraining from it only through fear of consequences, is neither a temperate man nor a reliable religionist. We should examine ourselves and learn what is the affection and purpose of the heart. For in this way only can we learn what we honestly are. Mortals move onward towards good or evil as time glides on. If mortals are not progressive, past failures will be repeated until all wrong work is effaced or rectified. If at present satisfied with wrongdoing, we must learn to loathe it. If at present content with idleness, we must become dissatisfied with it. Remember that mankind must sooner or later, either by suffering or by science, be convinced of the error that is to be overcome. In trying to undo the errors of sense, one must pay fully and fairly the utmost farthing until all error is finally brought into subjection to truth. The divine method of paying sin's wages involves unwinding one's snarls and learning from experience how to divide between sense and soul. If you believe in and practice wrong knowingly, you can at once change your course and do right. Do not believe in any supposed necessity for sin, disease, or death, knowing as you ought to know that God never requires obedience to a so-called material law, for no such law exists. The belief in sin and death is destroyed by the law of God, which is the law of life instead of death, of harmony instead of discord, of spirit instead of the flesh. The divine demand, be ye therefore perfect, is scientific, and the human footsteps leading to perfection are indispensable. The first demand of this science is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. This me is spirit. Therefore the command means this, thou shalt have no intelligence, no life, no substance, no truth, no love, but that which is spiritual. Mankind will become perfect in proportion as this fact becomes apparent. War will cease, and the true brotherhood of man will be established. Having no other gods, turning to no other but the one perfect mind to guide him, man is the likeness of God, pure and eternal, having that mind which was also in Christ. Let the perfect model be present in your thoughts instead of its demoralized opposite. This spiritualization of thought lets in the light and brings the divine mind, life, not death, into your consciousness. Through many generations, human beliefs will be attaining diviner conceptions, and the immortal and the perfect model of God's creation will finally be seen as the only true conception of being. Let's have a few moments of silent prayer and then pray together the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Let's sing our second hymn. It's hymn 416. Be true and list the voice within. Be true unto thy high ideal, thy perfect self that knows no sin, that self that is the only real. Hymn number 416. Good evening, and welcome to you all that have joined us on the call-in line. We are so glad that you have joined us. I have no formal announcements. I do have one reminder that this coming Sunday is the beginning of daylight savings time, and we need to jump forward, spring forward. So you need to be here or you will miss it because we are springing forward. So I just wanted to remind you of daylight savings time coming up this coming Sunday. If you would like to have a copy of any of the lessons, I'll be glad to send them to you. Just email me at jeanbates@me.com. We also now have the things being recorded, the Wednesday services being recorded, and you can get online. I didn't bring that copy of the site, the link to it, but It is, Scott, do you have it?
Carmel, C-S.
Okay, it's carmelcs.org. That's our church website, and if you would like to re-listen to, Scott, I was going to ask you, is it going to be a culmination of four subjects, four nights, or do you know if it's going to be more than that? Because I had that question asked me.
It's each individual service.
But how long will it be on the site?
The last four Wednesdays.
Okay, so it'll save up to four.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I was wanting to know. Okay, well, thank you. All right, now it's your turn to share any thoughts or healings that you may have had that you would like to share with us all. Shirley has the microphone. Make sure you hold it nice and close to your mouth so that everybody online and in the the room, what's the room called? Okay, my mind is going blank. Can hear in the audience. So just hold it nice and close. Now it's your turn.
I really want to thank you for the lesson and the title of the lesson. It just makes me feel so good when our church acknowledges other ideas and other faith traditions and so forth, and honor them as well as I thought happened tonight, sort of raise up and uplift the concept. And it really made me feel good to be a Christian Scientist and to have the church I belong to willing to delve in to these other subjects that are more prominent in other churches, other religions, other denominations. So thank you for doing that. I did have a little experience today that I was sort of led to think about giving a testimony. I got to go quickly on this because it could really expand. I was talking with a Christian Science friend this morning, and we were exchanging Christian Science kind of thinking back and forth, and she mentioned a practitioner she had known quite a few years ago that gave something that she wanted to share in this conversation, and it was that I wrote it down. It's inspiration and healing could be as quick as a think. And then she said, what is needed in all cases is a shift in thought. And here, this practitioner back then just felt that all you have to do is think. You think the new way, think the new truth, and you can have a healing by just a change of thought. So that was a nice impartation. And she said the name of that practitioner. And I didn't realize at the time, and we hung up shortly, but it dawned on me that I had called on that practitioner way back, probably 40 years or more. And it just brought back all the memories of that occasion. I don't know whether I ever called on him before or again, but I sure called on him then. And my 7-year-old son had just fallen off of a tree, the height of a tree, all the way down, and his arm was messed up pretty thoroughly. And for some reason, I called this practitioner, and I guess I must have wondered what I should do. I wanted his help, but he said, you need to take your son to the hospital. And I thanked him for that, and I got him all set. my wife had just passed on probably less than a year before, and so I was sort of handling everything myself. And I got my son ready to go. I don't know what I did with his younger brother. I think I called a babysitter. But I got Rob over to the hospital real quickly. And about 5 or 10 minutes after I signed him in and the doctor was taking care of him, in came this practitioner. And he lived in the Indianapolis area, almost an hour or so away from Anderson, Indiana, where this all took place. And I don't know how I handled it when he walked in at that time. I'm sure I expressed gratitude and all that, but I don't remember having any emotional experience. But in recalling this, it just amazed me that almost as quickly as I got to the hospital, I remember he did ask me what hospital I was taking Rob to. And I only knew like one hospital in Anderson, Indiana, and I gave him that name. But here, within 5 minutes after I arrive, he walks in. And it just made me feel quite grateful today. I hope I expressed all that to him. But it was just, it's just something that practitioners do. They not only pray and heal, but they support. And for him to come to the hospital just took up a lot of my thinking today. And I think possibly it could have been because he knew my wife had passed on and that I would be just doing this on my own and by myself, and he wanted to be there. I think there were a couple other thoughts I had that were really significant now to me in knowing what happened back 40 years ago. I was very uplifted and amazed with this experience, and it came to me to share it with you today. So thank you.
Thank you.
I wanted to express my gratitude for your lesson tonight and your thoughts about fasting and prayer. And it took me back to last week's lesson when the disciples, Jesus sent them out to heal, and they couldn't cast the devil out of the person. And they said, why couldn't we cast the devil out of this young boy or whatever? And he said, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. And in our Christian Science Bible lesson talk that we listen to online on the telephone every week with Kathy Merrill, she related the prayer and fasting as kind of affirmation and denial, kind of like what we do in a Christian Science treatment. I just thought that was so interesting that the affirmation is the prayer and the denial is the fasting, and it doesn't have anything to do with food normally. There's a lot we can deny, and I just wanted to share that. Thank you.
Thank you. I'd forgotten about that.
Thank you for your readings. I just want to say there were several things you read from Science and Health that were like my favorite sentences, phrases, thoughts that come to me a lot, and I really appreciate hearing that. And thank you also, too. I appreciated that prayer and fasting, because I use that Bible verse when it comes up for something that's kind of ongoing, working on. But that was a really neat, that was very helpful to hear it from it that way. And then just a little experience. Last Friday, I was at work, but I had a voicemail that I listened to after work, and it was from the pastor of a church here in Carmel. It's downtown. It's called Fellowship in Christ. And my son, who lives in a group home, has actually been going there for like 3 years, and most Sundays, except not for about 3 months, because they've been short on staff. And so the pastor left me a voicemail saying, you know, I really miss Mark, and he mentioned the staff's name too. And he said, can you give me a call back? And So I was actually driving to Fort Wayne, so I did that drive. I was at my brother's. I kind of forgot I was eating dinner, but then I called him back 8 or 9 p.m. that night, and it was so sweet. I just really felt, I don't know, it just was such a warm feeling, and God was the one doing this, and there's one mind, and God brings his ideas together, that kind of thing. But he asked, you know, where's Mark? Is everything okay? You know, and I shared a few things, and, you know, mainly there was just a staff shortage. And then he asked me a couple other questions, and I answered, and then he said, well, if you don't mind, I'll pray about this. He said, I really appreciate what you shared. And he said, we really miss Mark, and I'll pray about this, and we can just know, you know, something good will unfold. He didn't exactly say. And it just was really neat. We talked about this interfaith thing, too, and, you know, we all pray to the same God, and it was just so warming to feel like, kind of felt like I've talked to a practitioner, you know, so it was really, really sweet. And it also reminded me of 3 years ago when I was looking for a church for Mark. It just had come to me that how important church has been to me and my family and to Mark when he was young, and could go to a one-on-one Sunday school they had for him. That, you know, maybe this was the right idea to find one. And you had to just be a little more casual kind of atmosphere and just some things because of his special needs. And I remember thinking, okay, where do I begin? You know, if you look in a phone book, you'll see a million trillion churches. So I just prayed and asked God to lead me. And then I called three different pastors, three different churches, and two called back, but the one that called back, the one that where Mark's been going, it was just such a sweet conversation, and I still remember that, and him saying, of course we want, you know, Mark, and I said, well, you know, I might do this, he might do that, we want it, you know, we want you both. And ever since Mark went there, there was just such a sweet acceptance, and, you know, it's the same God in all the churches, and I just was so grateful that he's has had a church home. So thank you for your readings again.
Thank you.
You read from Science and Health, war will cease and the true brotherhood of man will be established. The science of the Christ is what's going to bring that to fruition. And where do we study about the science of the Christ? Well, in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, which focuses on the Bible and the works of Christ Jesus. I'm going to share an account, and the important thing is about Science and Health and its writings. And I should mention that I believe this year it was announced at annual meeting that there are now 18 translations of Science and Health as of this past year. But I'd like to share an account about the first translation, I believe, was of in German. And the account of that going on was shared at our Christian Science Students Association meeting by the wife of the husband and wife that traveled to communist Germany before the wall came down to bring back the translation of Science and Health from Germany. And she, at our association meeting, obviously years later, she gave an account of here they were. They had gathered what had been going on probably for years to get the translation. And, of course, under communist rule, it was very secretive and almost dangerous what was going on. And she shared how on the train, more people got off before they got to the point of passing into freedom. And she shared about how there were soldiers with guns on the top of the railroad cars. And here they were with their bags. And, of course, they were praying. praying to protect this precious work that they were bringing back to pursue that war will cease and the true brotherhood of man will be established. And they were protected, and obviously the German translation is in existence now. And now there are 18 different languages which have been translating science and health. And then in concert with that, with our little Christian Science reading room here in Carmel, over a number of months, I've had an individual call, and she doesn't live, she lives in the community, but a bit of a drive from Indianapolis and Carmel. And the first time she called, it was a long conversation, and I heard about her fears and her concerns and this and that. But she was reaching for Christian Science. And this has gone on over months where I'll get a call and certain things are shared or just seeking some truths. And at one point in time, she told me that she was going to ask her library to get a copy of Science and Health, which happened. And she borrowed it, but she said, I need it longer than when I can borrow it from our library. And today I had a call, and you know, I had suggested that it could be ordered from a bookstore, it could be, and there's a sense of wanting to protect whatever others would think of her reaching for Christian Science. And just today, I received a phone call while I was serving at the reading room, and it was the same individual who was willing to give me a post office box in her community where a Science and Health could be mailed. And she was worried about paying for it and the postage, and I said, God will take care of it. And she was so excited because she wanted that book that she could really study and read, because she's gotten a glimpse of what Christian Science is. And I'm happy to report that it's on its way. I got to the post office in time to put it in the mail and send it to the post office box. And I think it will bring great fruition. But it's a little symbol of today's times on going clear back to when Mrs. Eddy wrote Science and Health and the translation into the German language. And today there are 18 different languages. And so it's one by one how the truth is spreading. Oh, and one other thing about that, speaking of world thought, on the Wednesday testimony meeting from the Mother Church, which I listen to on Wednesdays when I'm serving in the reading room, there was a report of a small group of people in Japan who are reading through start to finish Science and Health there. And of course, they have the translation there. So war will cease and the true brotherhood of man will be established. Thank you for your readings.
Thank you.
Thanks for those readings, Jean. Just express gratitude for a couple things. You know, talking about translations, one of the, I was in last week's lesson, that verse that says, this doesn't come but by prayer and fasting. And this is what I love about a spiritual approach to these ideas about our relationship to God. It turns out that particular verse, there's like 18 of them in the New Testament, that when they've uncovered older transcripts of the New Testament through the, you know, the archaeological digs that they do, there are 18 verses in the New Testament that aren't in previous transcripts. And somehow were added, and they attribute it to a newer transcript that they have from like the 1400s. So just a point of note, just very interesting, you know, because I was like, well, what does prayer and fasting mean? So I was digging into it, and I try and go back to what the transcript in Greek would say and get some sense of that, of the words that were used. And so in doing so, it was just interesting that they say some of the newer translations of the Bible tend to be more accurate of the actual words that were used based on having the transcript from when it was actually originally written. So just interesting. Not that it changes any of our understanding of God's goodness. Just an interesting point, you know, as we study and dig in. But anyways, while I was doing that, the one thing that was also so cool was around that whole dialogue that Jesus was having, there was a comment in the King James where it says that, you know, your names will be written in heaven. And I'm like, well, what does that mean? You know, so I was looking into it. And this is one of the things cool. This was in the Message where it said, you know, they were all excited because they came back and they had all these healings that had occurred and they had seen this dominion over material circumstance in material sense. And while that was cool, I love what in the Message Jesus said to him. He says, just remember, it's not what you're doing for God, but what God is doing for you. So removing personal sense, you know, and that's how this healing work will continue forever, because it is the law. It's not something that is governed by an individual person. It actually is the law. And then right after that whole dialogue, the thing I just absolutely loved, it just reminded me of how we're very, very privileged, I think, to not everything is Christian Science, to have that sense of it being the comforter. Because right after Jesus in that whole statement, Jesus was saying, and I'll send you a comforter. You know, they had all this great healing and things were amazing. And, you know, and then he said, you know, I'm going to send you the comforter, your friend that will be with you forever, which we understand to be divine science, you know, Christian Science. And so I was just reminded of that wonderful universal law. And then that got me to thinking, which this is really where I'm going with this. I'm just so grateful to have Mrs. Eddy's insight onto what the truth is, because harmony has to be present. Perfection has to be present. Universal good has to be present right now, despite what we see. And so how can that be? Well, the thing that I love is that comment. She says that love is both impartial and universal. And what I love about that expanded thought is that everyone's need can be met all the time. And while to material sense that seems to be impossible, meaning, well, if I've got good, that means someone else doesn't have good. If I take this, it's someone's without. Like, material sense may claim that to be so. Well, if we have a wall, then it leaves someone out. If we don't have a wall, then it leaves someone in. Like, all this, you know, whatever appears. But the thing that I love about this, that when we take the Christian Science standpoint, this comforter, that really allows us to see God's infinite capacity to meet everybody's needs. And in reality, part of the animosity becomes because someone thinks, well, if I have it the way I want to, then it somewhat deprives someone else. And really, we're asked to go above that in Christian Science, to see love being both universal and impartial and able to meet everybody's needs. And so, you know, working and praying, because when someone calls, the healing work is going to occur because it's a law. It's not a personal sense. It's not a particular political standpoint. It's not a, you know, whatever we make it out to be from that personal sense. So I'm so grateful for Christian Science, because I read the lesson so much every day, and you get this complete hope and expectation that perfection is a present reality and that we should experience it and see that. And so I'm grateful for Mrs. Eddy's insight into that and how we can experience that and how we can unsee, or, you know, like they said with the prayer and fasting, you know, affirm and deny those things that are and aren't true. So grateful for that study. So grateful for these translations that these individuals have done, and all the continued work to build a body of knowledge around the original manuscripts that are the Bible, and our continued understanding of what our relation to God is, and how we do have the comfort. So grateful for that. And then last thing, real quick, we've had our family down in Florida for the last few weeks, and it's just so great. The receptivity and the Christian Science conversations we have are so wonderful. And each of the Sundays when they've been down, my brother, one brother probably hasn't been in a Christian Science church in 30 years. And, I'm not sure we were even going to bring up going, but it's just something, you know, we listen to and we just so encourage and it was just so sweet because I got to have my nephew in Sunday school. He'd never been to Sunday school in his life, and he is 11. Didn't know anything about the Ten Commandments and any of the stuff. So it was just so fun. He was so, it was just so sweet to see through his innocent eyes, his genuine, he was zeroed in on this stuff. And as we were going over the Ten Commandments and just the different, the Bible's amazing, right? So, all the different cool stories he was just so receptive and so keen on listening, on these different ideas. I was just so grateful to have that experience and to have have him in Sunday school and be exposed to the Ten Commandments and have our families, join us at the Sunday. What's that? Oh, I missed it. Sorry. What was that? That's right. So we had the Sunday school class, and then you say that.
Oh, Gabe asked, what did you think about the Ten Commandments? He said, oh, yeah, they sound reasonable.
So anyways, I'm just so grateful for Christian Science. I'm grateful to be here tonight and appreciate all the effort that you guys put into running the service, and like the website, beautiful, good stuff. Appreciate all the work. So thank you.
Thank you. Let's conclude our service by singing our last hymn, 554. One by one, pure thoughts and holy, lift us out of the self and sin.
Thank you for listening to First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. You can join us any Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. at our church located at 116th and Haverstick Road in Carmel. Or give us a call on the Listen line, 317-688-9898. 317-688-9898. Thanks again for listening.